Okay, we're starting here on the top of Yud Aleph Umid Aleph. The Gemara here is discussing the machlok between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. We established that on yesterday's daf, the machloket about what's the status of, number one, the other brothers, and number two is the other wife. When they are not participants, either in the chalitza and the yibum, what is their status? As far as the individual themselves that performs the chalitza, we know that that individual then is governed by the rule of if he's lat lo yivneh beit achiv, if he doesn't build his brother's house, shuv lo yibaneh, then he can't go back and do it again, which means he only has an iser lav to take this woman. Even after he's done chalitza with her, there's only an iser lav to take her. That everyone agrees. The question is, after that, what's the story with the other brothers and what's the story with the other co-wives? Reish Lakish suggests that the individual acts for themselves, and themselves only. That means that anybody else who's left remains in their original status, which is an Isur Erva of Eshet Ach. Means all the other brothers, Chiyuv Karet. All the other co-wives, Chiyuv Karet, to engage with any relationship with them. On the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan says that whoever participates, whether it's the wife or the brother that participates, is a Shliach. He's an agent for all the other parties that are here. And just like he acts to do chalitza for himself, he's also acting on behalf of all the other parties to do chalitza, and therefore they're all governed by the same rule that he is, which is that im lo yivne beit achiv, shu lo yibaneh. It means that there's only an iser lav left for everyone else. Now, obviously, the big nafka mina between them is what happens in a situation of yibum. A situation of yibum where the brother went ahead and violated the iser lav, and he, after doing chalitza, performing chalitza with this woman, goes ahead and marries her anyway. So now he violated the Isur Lav, but he's a Kedushin Ar Tofsin by Isur Lav, except for Rabbi Akiva. So now he's married to this woman, and then he passes away without children. He has this woman that he married, plus he has other co-wives that he also had. And now the brothers are faced with what to do in this scenario. Well, it really depends what the status of these individuals is. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's clear you have to do chalitza over here, because there's only an Isur Lav for everybody. There's only an Isur Lav. That means that you have to perform chalitza. On the other hand, for Reish Lakish, it really depends. I mean that if he has a co-wife, that co-wife has a din of erva to him. If he has a din of erva, then she's Pturah, and her co-wife is Pturah also. So the big nafkamina is in this situation of Yibum. The Gemara here discussed the Baraita, which Rabbi Yochanan brought as a proof to his position. And then Reish Lakish retorted that the second half of the Braita does not really support you, Rabbi Yochanan, actually supports my position. And therefore the Gemara was left with Rav Sheshet attempting to solve the problem and say that there's dual authorship of this Braita, which is that the first half of the Braita is authored by the Rabbonon, the latter half of the Braita is authored by Rabbi Akiva. The difference being that Rabbi Akiva believes that Chiyuve Lav, when you have just a Lav that's associated with an illegal or illicit marriage, that's enough to be considered a rayot and to dissolve the marriage. Or, in the face of Yibum, you wouldn't have to do Yibum or Chalitza. You go out without anything. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva is the author of the second half of this Braita, whereas the Rabbanan are the authors of the first half who say that Isurei Lav are exactly that. They're Isurei Lav, where Kedushin are Tovsin. The Gemara rejected that because it said, then it should have given attribution to the second half of the Braita to Rabbi Akiva. If you're switching authorship in the middle, and you're trying to bring another opinion, you should have told us that you're bringing this other opinion. And by not telling us that, it seems to be that that's not the proper explanation of the Braita. So that's where we're up to Kasha. Now we're going to have two attempts at explaining it, one according to Reish Lakish and one according to Rabbi Yochanan. So Rav Ashi Savarlaki Reish Lakish. Rav Ashi subscribes to Reish Lakish's opinion, which is that everybody else remains with an Isur Karet. It's only the one who performed Chalitza that has that new status of Isur Lav. Umetaretz Laki Rabbi Shimon. And he solves the problem of the Braita by saying that the authorship here is Rabbi Shimon. We're going to come back and the Gemara will explain this. Ravina suffered like Rabbi Yochanan. Ravina holds like Rabbi Yochanan that everyone is downgraded to an Isur Lav. And he holds like the Rabbanan. The machlok between Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan we just saw on the end of Daf Tet, which is the machlok of the Gabay, Eshet Achiv Shelo Yah Be'olam. By Eshet Achiv Shelo Yah Be'olam, Rabbi Shimon differs from the Chachamim. The Chachamim say, as long as the child did not exist while the first brother was married to this woman, then he's out of the picture forever. Doesn't matter if another brother did Yibum, doesn't matter when he was born afterwards, he's out of the picture. According to Rabbi Shimon, it really depends on the timing of his birth. If, for instance, Reuven is married to a woman, passes away, and then Shimon marries her, if Levi is only born after Shimon is married to her, then he's fine, because he never existed while Reuven was married to her. Shimon really, in a sense, started a new marriage. And by that new marriage, Levi is relevant in terms of Yibum. Since he's relevant in terms of Yibum, therefore, in that case, Rabbi Shimon says, there is Yibum. It's not Eshet Achiv Shalaya Ba'olam. So that's the Rabbi Shimon Chachamim that we are discussing over here. So now, Rav Ashi, Sarah Lekar Esh Lokish, Umetaritz Lekar Rabbi Shimon. This is how he explains the Braita. Acholetz Livimto, V'chazar V'kidsha. Someone who did Chalitza with his potential woman who would be available for Yibum. V'chazar V'kidsha. And afterwards he goes in and marries her, despite the fact that that is improper. Tzricha Chalitza Min Achim. If he passes away without children now, this woman requires Chalitza from the Achim. Man Achim. Who are the brothers here that she requires this Chalitza from? Achin Hayilodim. These are the brothers that Nodu Achar HaKidushim Shel Zeh. They were born after the Kiddushin. Kiman, who's this like? Kirebi Shimon. This is like Rabbi Shimon who says that such a woman is available for Yibum. Even though this is Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Be'olam. Nevertheless, there still is the potential for Yibum over here. As Rashi explains, because they were born after the Kiddushin. Velo itzara alayu b'chalitzato. They weren't alive when he performed chalitza with her the first time. So since they weren't around when he performed chalitza with her the first time, they do not have a restriction of eshet ach that Reish Lakish believes is true. Reish Lakish believes that if you are a brother who is alive at the time that this brother performs chalitza, all the remaining brothers have an iser erva of eshet ach. Therefore, you shouldn't require chalitza, you shouldn't require anything. Yibum. Why am I requiring chalitza over here? These brothers were born later. They were born after all this took place. If you have a situation, according to Rabbi Shimon, where they were born after the first time that came to Yibum, after the first opportunity of Yibum, they weren't around when chalitza was performed on this woman. They were only around after chalitza was performed and after he married her. Now they show up in the picture. They have no relevance to the first time this woman came into the picture of being a Yivama. They weren't alive then, so it didn't matter to them. Reuven passed away without children. His wife was now available for Yibum. Shimon decides to perform Chalitza with her. Then he marries her. Levi, Yehuda, they were all around at that time. Now they're all restricted as Eshet Ach. They have Erva. That is Rabbi Shlakish's opinion. But now all of a sudden Yisachar was born. But Yisachar was born after all this took place. Now Shimon's married to this woman and they're born. As far as they're concerned, the only thing they bumped into was Shimon being married to this woman. And therefore, there's no Erva for them. At least according to Rabbi Shimon, because that's not considered to be Eshet Achiv Shaloya Ba'olam, because they weren't around when Reuven was around, they're fine. They're around when Shimon's around. Eshet Achiv Shaloya Ba'olam, according to Rabbi Shimon. And therefore, they can, technically, should be able to perform Yibum or Chalitza. Why are they only performing Chalitza over here? It's because Shimon's marriage is a problematic. It's a legal marriage. He performed Chalitza with her and then married her. There's an Iser Lav there. So we're going to opt for Chalitza, not Yibum, because it's not the type of marriage we want to sustain. It's not the type of marriage you want to perform Yibum for. But, nevertheless, they still require Chalitza because it won't dissipate, dissolve by itself. It needs active Chalitza to remove it because it's not a real erva. It's not a full-fledged erva for these individuals. And that's the way that Rav Ashi explains the first half of the Braita, according to Reish Lakish, in the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Then, Amar Achad Min HaNoladim, if one of the brothers who was alive when all of this took place tries to marry this woman, then Ein La Lav Klum. Then there's nothing that happens. Come on, Reish Lakish. Like Reish Lakish, because there's an Iser Erva. So once again, in our scenario, Reuven passed away without any children. His wife Rachel is now available. Shimon performs Chalitza with her. At that time, Levi and Yehuda are alive. He performs Chalitza, and then Shimon goes ahead and marries her anyway. After performing Chalitza, he marries her anyway. Levi and Yehuda were alive. Yisachar is born after she's married to Shimon. As far as Levi and Yehuda are concerned, they have, according to Reish Lakish, an Iser Erva associated with them. That's the latter half of the Braita. For Levi and Yehuda, this woman is completely restricted as an Erva. Therefore, they have to do nothing. Or if they try to do something, it doesn't work, because she is complete Erva. Yisachar was born only after she was married to Shimon, after all of this took place. According to Rabbi Shimon, in that case, they are Achim Shaya Ba'olam B'Yachad, and therefore, Yisachar is able to perform Yibum over here. Now, technically, it could be Yibum or Chalitza. We opt for Chalitza because of the nature of the marriage of this woman to Shimon, which is not a proper marriage. Then, Ravina savar like Rabbi Yochanan. Ravina holds like Rabbi Yochanan, Matarit Salah Libid Rabbonan. He explains according to Rabbanan. Hakolet Livamto, Vachazar Vikidcha, Tricha Chalitza Min Achim. Man Achim, who are the Achim? Achim and Noladim. Those are the extant brothers. The brothers who were there at the time of Chalitza, they require Chalitza. This is Rabbi Yochanan Lashitato. Rabbi Yochanan Lashitato is that all the brothers are downgraded to an Iser Lav after one brother performs Chalitza. So now, if he goes in and marries her, and now they are available for Yibum, after this brother dies, who did Chalitza, married her improperly, and now dies without children, the other brothers are only an Iser Lav to this woman. Therefore, they have to perform Chalitza and not Yibum. So that's how he explains the first half of the Braita. So that's Kiman, that's like Rabbi Yochanan. Amar Achad min ha-yilodim v'kidsha. If one of the children who was born later, for instance, Yisachar, who was born later, comes and tries now to perform Yibum, then in la love klum. Then there's zero happens. Why? Because this is like the Rabbonon, not like Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, who says Yisachar was born after Shimon was already married to this woman, he is relevant to the situation because that's not called Achim Shalai Alam Yachad. On the other hand, for the Rabbonon, if you're born afterwards, as long as you were not in the world at the same time as the first marriage took place, Reuben is all the way back. Since Yisachar wasn't there, he's already considered to be Achim Shaloya Ba'olam Yachad, and therefore they are an Erva, she's an Eshadach, and he can't perform Yibum with her whatsoever. And that's where he takes up the second half of the Braita, according to the Rabbonon, that this child that was born later is problematic. Well, Rabbi Yochanan and Shlokesh clearly argue, and we want to keep them consistent within their opinion. So now, we've created the Braita, we can explain it entirely according to Reish Lakish, but you have to bring in it Rabbi Shimon. In Rabbi Shimon's opinion, helps Reish Lakish explain the first half of the Braita. And Rabbi Yochanan, now again, will say that the entire Braita is like me, but I just explained according to the Rabbonon and the Seifa. What they've basically done is they bifurcated the Reish and the Seifa by choosing who it is of the brothers that are doing the Yibum over here. They switch between Noladim and Yilodim. Those that were born after the fact and those that were born before the fact. And Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan basically reverse it to make it work in their favor to get to the answer or the result that they want. So now the Gemara says, Itmar. Haba al yivama, uba acher min achim al tzarata. One of the brothers goes ahead and performs Yibum. The process of Yibum is completed now. Full-fledged marriage now, everything is done. Yibum was performed. Uba achad min achim al tzarata. Then one of the brothers, who was available for Yibum, he wasn't the one who performed it, but he was available for Yibum, and one of the co-wives that was also available for Yibum, but again, she wasn't chosen. Another brother did the Yibum, and another one of the wives did the Yibum. What is the status in that case? So, Pligi bar Rav Acha Ravina. They argue about what's the status of this latter marriage. Chanamar b'karet. There's an Isur karet involved here. V'chanamar b'asei. This is the girsa of Rashi, that it's an asei. Rabbeinu Tam has a girsa of v'chanamar b'lav. That it's a lav, not an asei. We'll discuss that in 1 second. Manda mar b'karet k'resh lakish. The one that says karet here is holding like Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says, once one of the brothers acts, all the remaining parties have a problem of Eshedach. And therefore, the co-wife, as well as the other brother, now have a problem of Eshedach, and that's a chiyuv karet. That's what is the position, that it is a chiyuv karet. One says it's an asei, mandam asei, that's like Rabbi Yochanan. Because Rabbi Yochanan says that once one of the brothers acts, all the other brothers are taken along with them. It's a machloke between Rashi and Tosafot here, as whether it's an aser or lot aser. What is the issue? So Rashi says over here, it says that bayit echad hu boneh, ve'enu boneh bet batim. It says that asher lo yivneh beit achiv, right? Or that you have to build your beit achiv. Every time it uses the word bayit, it uses it in the singular form. So the Gemara learns from that you build one bayit and not multiple batim. That means, number one, that the person who performs the Yibum only performs it with one of the wives, not with multiple wives. Number two is, if one of the brothers acts, then none of the other brothers can go ahead and act in the form of Yibum afterwards. Rashi claims that that's the source. V'lava ba michlal asei asei. This is an asei. Asei is that he should build Beit Achiv, that he should build his brother's house. Implying that building his brother's house means that nobody else can, and he shouldn't build multiple houses. So that's an Isur that derives from an Asay. The Asay is to build a house. The Isur comes out of it. It's an Isur Asay. Isur Asay is like an Asay. That's the way Rashi terms it. Tosafot says, wait a minute. I don't know if we can really say that because you're learning two things out of this. Number one, you're learning out that you can't have a marriage after one Yibum is performed or one Chalitza is performed. You can't go ahead and do something more. You can't have then marry another one of the wives. You can't have one of the other brothers act. That is the basic din is learned out of this pasuk. How can you learn out a second din? What's the second din? The first din is that bayit echad velo multiple batim. The second din is now I'm downgrading it from karet to a lav. He says, or to an asay. Those are two dinim that you're trying to learn out of the same pasuk or the same limud. He says that's not possible. That's why the Rabbeinu Tam says, I'm sorry, it's a lav over here. And what is the lav? That's what the lav. The lav is here is, which we saw in yesterday's daf, which is, im lo yivneh beit achiv, shuv lo yibaneh. If they didn't opt to build the brother's house with this woman, then they may not in the future build that house. And that's lo yivneh. At beit achiv means that you're now governed by lo yivneh beit achiv, which is a lav. That's the way the Rabbeinu Tam learns it. Either way, a lav or an asay, we've significantly downgraded the problem here. Karet, you can't have kiddushin, it's a much more serious issue. None of this is tofes. If it's just a lav or it's just an asay, the kiddushin are tofes, then you have a very different scenario. And that's the machloket here. But this machloket really revolves around Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan's opinions, which is Reish Lakish who says that the individual acts is the only one governed by the psukim in the parsha of Yibum. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says that all the brothers and all the co-wives are governed by that parsha because whoever acts, acts on behalf of all the other parties. And so that's the conclusion of this piece of the Gemara. Now we move on to something that we saw earlier in the Gemara. The Gemara asks about Minyan Alamali. Why does the Mishnah say 15? So the Gemara says it comes to exclude other options. What are some of those other options? There we said Rav and Ravasi were the other options. One of those options, which we said was the name of Rav, was Tzarat Sota. Tzarat Sota is another possibility of a Rayot, which Rav says is number one, Erva. Erva enough that you don't have to perform Chalitza or Yibum. They're out of the picture automatically. Number two is they are Poteret Sarata. They take care of their co-wives. So their co-wives are also exempt. Everybody's exempted. That's what Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav, Tzarat Sota Asura. Tzarat Sota is Asura. That co-wife is also restricted, meaning that there is no existence of Yibum over here. Why? Why is that the case? Because my taima tuma ktiv ba ke'arayot. The word tuma is used in association with the problem of sota. Just like ba de'arayot, we have the term the tuma that is used. In Parshat Achrimot, as well as in Parshat Kiddushim, when it discusses the arayot, not only does it talk about the punishment of karet, not only does it call it a toeva, but it also calls it tuma. Al titamu b'cholele. Do not defile yourselves with all of these activities, the activities that the people in Canaan, who lived there before you, got engaged with, and they were engaged in these activities. I've got them thrown out of the land, and that's why you're taking over for them. But if you do what they do, you're going to be in the same place. The land's going to throw you out as well. So, al itamu b'cholele, and also by sota, the word tuma is actually used three times over there. The Gemara dashens from that. One is that she's a surah labal. Number two is she's a surah laboel. And number three is she's a surah betruma, if she's a eshet kohen. But the word tuma appears three times there. So in this instance, the Tuma, according to Rav, makes it that the Sota has the same status as Erva. Now, as far as the Sota is concerned, we're really not so worried about her because let's assume that Sota is not going to be the one who performs the Yibum over here. This woman's already restricted to the brother who passed away because she acted in a way that was inappropriate and that activity caused her to be now a Surah Labal, a Surah to her husband. Now, it may not be an Isur Karet, but she's still a surah to her husband. If that's the scenario, then we're not going to opt for you performing Yibum with this woman. At best, you're going to perform Chalitza, or maybe you are Patur Legamre. But the question is the co-wife. The co-wife, who is a perfectly good wife to this person who passed away, who had no blemishes, nothing on their record, can one of the brothers perform Yibum with this co-wife? Is that allowed? Rav says no, because she's Tzarat Hasota. And Tzarat Hasota is Tura because Sota is compared to Arayot through this word of Tuma. That's how he explains it. Now Rashi points out here, when we're talking about a Sota over here, this is not Sota as we classically think. We classically think of Sota as a woman where we have uncertainty as to whether she engaged in an illicit relationship. She was told not to be mityached with an individual, and she goes ahead and violates that warning as mityached, enough time where she could have possibly acted and had an illicit relationship. We don't know for certain. And therefore, we're going to take her up to the Mikdash and we're going to give her to drink to figure it out. That's the classic case of Sota. That's not what we're speaking about here. We're talking about here a case where she has been determined to be problematic. She had the illicit relationship. Rashi says over here, Tzratzot Asura, Ayanasui Bet Nashim, Vizinta Achat Tachtav. One of them had an illicit relationship, Vyesh Edim. And we have Edim to the fact that she acted in illicit relationship, Umet Belo Banim, and then he dies without children. So this is a woman who's been Nitpisa in a illicit relationship. She's now Asur to her Baal. She has a problem. No, the term sota, what you're talking about is the process by which we determine, which is sota. You're right. There you have to have a safek. If you have edim, even ed echad, she doesn't drink. But the woman, the sota, is a terminology for a woman who acted improperly. Here, this woman acted improperly. She just happens to be a vadai sota. We know for certain that she acted improperly, and we don't have to go through the process to determine that she is a sota. We know that she is a sota in this case. Right, so that's what the Rabbanan say, it's the Mutei Rav. But Rav himself thinks it belongs in our Mishnah. So why isn't it our Mishnah according to Rav? The Gemara answered that and said, because you can only have Tzara by the case of Sota. You cannot have Tzarat Tzarata by the case of Sota, because all the brothers have an equal situation here. It's not that this is binding one of the brothers in the Erva. The Erva applies equally across to all the brothers, and therefore you only have one round. There's only going to be one round of Ibum here. There's going to be no rematch. And because of that, it can't fit in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah talks about Tzara and Tzarat Tzarata. And that's why Rav says, I think our Mishnah agrees with me. The author didn't put it there because it doesn't fit the paradigm of the Mishnah. So that's Rav's opinion over here. So now the Gemara is going to challenge this position of Rav, which is Meiti Rav Chista. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Biata, O Chalitza, Mechav Shel Rishon, Puteret Tzarata. Her performing Bia, meaning Yibom, or Chalitza, with one of the brothers of the first husband, takes care of all the co-wives. Now, we have to know what the scenario is here. He's giving you, like, the bottom line. This is what Rabbi Shimon says. What's this scenario? Scenario is a woman whose husband went overseas, is traveling, and then she gets word that he's passed away. An Eid Echad shows up, says he's passed away. She goes to Beit Din, they look into it, sounds like he has passed away, and they give her permission to remarry. She goes ahead and remarries. Then, all of a sudden, the old husband shows up. He didn't really die. He shows up now. Now she has a problem. She has a problem because she's now not really married to the second husband because she still was married to the first husband. Number two is that any child born from the second marriage is a mamzer. But the Chachamim instituted that teitze mizeh umizeh. She has to divorce the second husband as well as the first husband. In that she becomes basically out. She's out on all counts from all marriages. Now the reason they did this is all midrabanan, is so that she'll check up front. We're mekil her on her up front. Usually for devar shebe'erva you need two edim, but because of aguna they allowed one aid. But that means we've lowered the threshold, we lowered the standard. So what they said is we'll lower the standard, but we'll up the repercussions if it's wrong. So what they do is we lowered the standard and said she can get married based on one aid, even though that's normally the case. But we want her to be very careful. How do we make sure she's careful? The repercussions, if she's wrong, will be significant, and therefore she's going to be sure that when she does it based on fact and not just on rumor. Trying to make her do the work up front so that she's certain, and once she's certain, then, and Beit Din's working with her. It's not just her alone, Beit Din's working with her. So that's the scenario that we're dealing with here. Now, in this scenario, look, the woman is, in the end, an anusa. She didn't do anything intentionally. She wasn't trying to have an illicit relationship when she was married to her previous husband. It was all a mistake. It's clearly a mistake. She wasn't intentionally trying to have an illicit relationship. As opposed to the sota before, here she's not intentionally having this relationship. So now she has a relationship, but that same scenario. A situation in which she now had a relationship with another person. She is now asur to her husband. Even if she wasn't a nusa, she's still asur to her husband, just like the sota. In the previous case, it's asur to a husband. And yet, what does Rabbi Shimon say over here? Rabbi Shimon says that if brothers of the first husband go ahead and perform yibum with her or chalitza with her, if the first husband dies and they don't have children, and they perform yibum or chalitza with her, poter de tzarata, they take care of all of the co-wives. So you see two things from here. First of all, the possibility of yibum and chalitza exists, even though she's quote-unquote a sota. That might be different because she's an anusa. Let's just leave it at that. But co-wives, that's the interesting point here. The co-wives are exempted based on her doing yibum or chalitza. Which means that the co-wives, what Rav said was, tzarat sota asura. The co-wives are completely asurim. What do you mean they're completely asurim? Over here, We're saying only because she performed Yibum or Chalitza are the co-wives off the hook. Were it not for that, they would be still a party to this situation. If that's the case, then this is against what Rav just said. So Gemara says, wait a minute. Amar lecha Rav. Amir lecha ana sota doraita. I'm talking about a woman who has an illicit relationship, which is a doraita problem over here. The reason she has to divorce her husband is because she engaged in an illicit relationship, and that's why she's a surat or a baal. Versus atamartli sota derabanan. Here, she has to divorce her first husband. It's not because that's the rule in the Torah. She, again, was an anusa in this relationship with the second man, and she should be able to return to her first husband, because it was all a mistake. And therefore, she should be able to return. The Chachamim imposed on her that she may not return to the first husband. So he says, you're comparing apples and oranges. You're telling me about, I'm telling you that when it's a sota doraita, where she's completely a surah to her husband, min ha-Torah, then it affects the co-wives. You're bringing me an example of a woman who's asur to her husband, midrabanan, and you're telling me, okay, it doesn't affect the co-wives? Of course not, because it's only derabanan. And that's why the co-wives are still a party and still a part of this issue. Now, the Gemara says, well, that's such a good answer. Udgari la maikari la. What was he thinking when he asked the question? It's clear that there's a distinction between deraita and derabanan. What is he thinking when he asked the question? The Gemara says, kasavar called the tikkun rabanan came deraita tikkun. They're right, that once the Rabbanan established something, they patterned it after the Torah law, and if they're going to pattern after the Torah law, then it should be the same din. And Rav comes along and says it's not the same din, but that's what he was thinking when he asked the question. Yes, I understand it's the Rabbanan over here, but if the Rabbanan patterned their whole din after the Doraita, the Tzarat Sota should have the same din here in the Rabbanan as it has in the Doraita. Rabbi Yochanan then says that's just not the case. Meiti Ravashi. Nichnasa imo l'seter. Vishata imo kedei tuma. Asur lebeita, asura leechol betruma. So here's a woman who is mistater. She was warned not to be mityached with a man. She disregards that and goes ahead and is mityached with the man. We have witnesses to this fact. We don't have witnesses of what transpired there. It's the sota that we would classically think of as a sota. We have edim that she was mityached. She stayed there enough time where something could have happened. And we just don't know. She is now at this point, asur lebeita, means she cannot return to her husband. There's only one of two ways she can return to her husband. Either she drinks, and we know for certain, or we have evidence somehow that she didn't have any illicit relationship over there. So now, she's asur lebeita, but asur leechol betruma. She's also precluded. If she's a wife of a kohen, she's now precluded from eating truma. Ve'imet, if this husband passes away now, choletzet. She does chalitza, velo mitya bemet. Obviously, there's a good reason for do chalitza, not yibum over here, because she's not the type of wife that we want to maintain, or this is not the type of relationship we want to maintain. Even for the husband, she was already asura. For the brothers, we're not going to insist that they perform yibum with her. We're going to say, perform chalitza to get rid of her. In this scenario, we see again that she is not considered to be an erva. This sota is not automatically an erva, and we don't just drop her out of the picture without chalitza or yibum. We insist on chalitza and yibum over here, which means that she doesn't get the full status of erva. So amar lecha Rav, amin lecha ana sota vadai, v'amarta li at soda safek. So here's the basic distinction, which is, in describing the case, you could see the pieces falling into place here, which is that Rav says the case is where we know for certain she had an illicit relationship. In that case, she's ois wife. She's not a wife anymore. She's illegal midoraita. And in that case, we're going to say, you don't need yibum, you don't need chalitza, she's out of the picture. She's like an erva. It's like a complete erva. She has a din of tumah. Over here, by the case that we're just describing over here, of a sota, we have a safek tumah. We're not certain what happened. In the case of safek tumah, we're going to insist that a chalitza is performed, because we have a safek. A safek, by definition, requires some activity. It requires us to deal with it. Because, for instance, if she really didn't have an illicit relationship, even though in the interim she's not allowed to be with her husband until we can clarify that situation. And if we never clarified, she's not allowed to be married to him. Nevertheless, it doesn't mean that she had an illicit relationship. She would have reglimed the bar. We have circumstantial evidence that there's a problem here. But we don't have full-fledged evidence. We don't have a deem to the fact. Therefore, she has to perform chalitza and not yibum. And that explains that scenario. And Rob says that's not a question of my position. All right, the Gemara says, Umayshna sota vadai. Why does Rav say that a sota vadai has a different din? Mishum dichtiv ba tuma. Because the word tuma is used by someone who has an illicit relationship. Sota, safek nami, tuma ktiv ba. The whole parsha of sota is written around a safek, and it says tuma over there. So if the word tuma is what governs whether it's an erva or not, then it shouldn't matter whether it's a Vada or a Sufek, they both are termed as Tumah, as Erva. Titania, Rabbi Yossi ben Kiper Omer, Mishum Rabbi Elazar, Hamachzir Grushato Mina Nisuin. Person who divorces a woman, after they get divorced, she goes out and marries a third party. The question of the marriage to the third party, how solid a marriage was this, or how deep a marriage was it? Did she just have Kiddushin with this second party and then get divorced from him, or he passed away, whatever it was? Or did she get a full-fledged marriage to this other party, meaning she had Kiddushin Nisuin, and now trying to return to the original husband? So that's the distinction that's being drawn over here. The distinction is, Amakzir Grushato Minha Nisuin, if he now tries to return her after she already married the other party, after she was divorced from the first husband, now she marries the second party, full-fledged marriage, Kiddushin, Nisuin, then Asura. In that case, she's Asura to go back to the first husband. On the other hand, Mine Erusin, if the second marriage was only Kiddushin, but was never consummated, the marriage was never consummated to the second husband, then she can be returned, Muteret, she can return to the first husband. Mishom, Shenemar, Acharei, Asher Hutam'a. Terminology that is used, why she cannot return to the original husband is because, Acharei, Asher Hutam'a. She's already become defiled. Defiled means for this husband. For the original husband, she's now defiled because she married another party. But Tuma is associated with Erva, is associated with the consummation of a marriage. So only Achrei Asher Hutama is there a problem to have her return to the original husband. But Kiddushin itself is not enough. Chamim achadzu b'chadzu asura. Doesn't matter. Chamim say it doesn't matter how married she is to the second husband, she cannot return to the original one. Elamani mekayim acharei hutama. What do they do with that extra term, acharei hutama? The rabot, sota, shenistara. This comes to include a sota, who was nistara, the case that we just spoke about. Which would present a problem for Rav, because Rav said there's a distinction between safek and vadai, but now according to the chachamim, they're using the term tuma, associated with nistara. Nistara simply means that she was secluded with this individual, and we have a safek as to her status. And yet she's still called Tuma, full-fledged Tuma, like an Erva. And that's a problem for Rav's distinction that he just drew. Now the Gemara is going to give an answer, and then we'll explain the whole thing. Umay Nistara. What is Nistara over here? Nivala, that she had Bia. But my Karila Nistara, that's not called Nistara. Nistara is when she secludes with an individual, and we don't know what happened there. Nivala means we know what happened over there. So why are you calling it Nistara? Gemara says, Nishna Ma'al Yonakot. It was a euphemism. Euphemism is that she was Nistara. Nistara is, we know what happened when she was Nistara, she was Nivala. Right now, Gemara says, Nivala Tuma Be'ejaktivba. What do you mean? If she was in an illicit relationship, what do you need this Pasuk by Machzir Grushato? V'Nistara V'hi Nitme'a. That is the Pasuk by Sota. The Pasuk by Sota already tells you that if she was Nistara V'hi Nitme'a, what does that mean? She was secluded, and she became Tamei, means that she was Nivala. So we know that term already. The Mekim Allah Bilav comes to teach you that there is now a lav for this woman. This woman who has engaged in this illicit relationship and been defiled, there is now a lav for the original husband to take her back. After a woman has an illicit relationship, she's a surah labal. But a surah labal is not just a surah labal, but means there's a lav here. There's a lav that restricts her from returning to the original husband. Rabbi Yossi ben Kiper. Lav besota lately. Obviously, Rabbi Yosef ben Kiper, who uses Achrei Asher Hutama to be talking about a divorcee, and he doesn't have that extraneous pasuk to deal with a sota, to have a lav by a sota. The Gro changes the girsa and reads as follows: Avala bala grusha vafilu zanai muteret libala. But a magzir grushato afilu zanai muteret libala. If a person engages in a relationship with a divorcee, then she may return to her husband. Again, a man divorces a woman, and then this woman gets involved in a relationship, not of marriage. Then she's still permitted to be returned to her original husband. That's not under this rubric of a magzir gruto. My time, Havaya v'ishut ktivba. In the case of magzir grushato, the terms havaya and ishut, isha, are used there. Havaya and ishut are terminology of marriage. So it's only marriage that causes the problem.
Because the pasuk says, "Beyatzami beito belcha b'hayata li'ishacher." That's the havaya. She will be married to another individual. Usnei'a ishacheron, bekatav la sefer kritut, Venatan biada bishilechami beito okiyamuta isha rochoron asher lekacha lo liisha. So the terminology haita and isha are associated with this marriage to the third party, which would preclude her from returning. Lo yuchal bala rishon asher shilecha lashuv lekachta lo liisha. He can't return her as a wife. Acharei asher hutama, because she had a relationship that involved nisuin, consummation of a marriage. So we would have thought, acharei asher hutama means that if she had bia with anyone, that would preclude her from going back to her original husband, based on the way that Rabbi Yossi ben Akiper explains this part of the pasuk. And therefore, number one, he doesn't have any lav by sota, because he uses it to modify or qualify which type of woman may not return to her original husband. Number two is, even though it says acharei asher hutama, that is also modified or qualified by the haita and the isha, which tells you only a bia relationship, consummation of a marriage in marriage context, is what precludes her from returning to her original husband. But if she just has some relationship, physical relationship, that's not sufficient to preclude her from returning to her original husband. And again, this is all according to Rabbi Yossi ben Akiper, according to the Chachamim. Acharei asher hutama is used for sota, and therefore any woman is precluded from returning to original husband. None of these other qualifications matter. Whether it's from kiddushin, whether it's from nisuin, she is not allowed to return to her original husband. So once an individual divorces a woman, it's only if she engages in a marriage relationship does that generate a problem. If she's engaged in other relationships which are extramarital, meaning that she never gets married, those will not preclude her from returning. So now, what is this teaching us? We said before that tuma is associated with a sota vadai, and tuma is associated with a sota safek. So how do we know that? Well, we just had this. The Chachamim, here in this discussion with Rabbi Yossi ben Akiper, in arguing about acharei asher hutama, what it referenced, as far as Rabbi Yossi ben Akiper is concerned, it all references to machzir grushato, and it's not relevant to our Gemara here. But according to the Chachamim, where acharei asher hutama is talking about a case of a safek sota, then we see the terminology tuma is used also by a safek sota, not just by a vadai sota. So in that case, I don't understand Rav's distinction. Rav said, wait, you're telling me, I'm talking about a sota vadai. That's why the tzara is ptura. But you brought me a case here where the tzara, or there needs to be chalitza and yibum. That's because it was a case of sota safek. So Gemara says, what's the source for Rav's position that sota vadai is considered to be an erva? The word tuma. Gemara says, well, we use the word tuma also by a sota safek. And I'll prove it to you. This braita just proved that the Chachamim considered a sota safek to have a din of tuma. The terminology tuma is used. So if that's the case, then tuma is associated by both of them. If it's associated with both of them, then for sure I have the same din. The same din should apply by a safek sota and a vadai sota. Rav, how are you distinguishing between them? Umay nistera niv ala. Vamay karile nistera. So lishnam alyanakat. That's the answer of the Gemara. You would have thought originally nistera means safek. That's why it's a question on Rav. What is the Gemara's answer? That nistera here does not mean safek. It means nivala. Vadai. Gemara says vadai. We already have a pasuk for that in the parsha of sota. Vehi nistera vin nitmi'a. Why do you need another pasuk for it? That's the answer. To bring a lav. To add a lav onto the situation. So the solution for Rav is to say that the tuma here is also talking about a case of vadai sota. It's not a safek sota, but rather a vadai sota. Why do I need two psukim talking about vadai sota? One of them is in parshat sota, telling you what the status of this woman's in erva. This one's telling you that you have a lav. If you act, if the husband takes back the sota, the woman who in this case was now nivala, had an illicit relationship, he is governed by an isur lav of acharehu tuma. That's what the lav by the parsha of machzir grushato is referencing, a case of vadai sota. So that's how Rav deals with the problem. He says you're wrong. The word tuma is not used by a safek sota. It's only used by a vadai sota. And how come the term nistara is used over there? That's just lashon ma'alio. That's just an euphemism for the fact that it was really a vadai sota. So that's how Rav solves the problem. And the point now, we're going to leave this situation with Rav and jumping on to another topic because it's correlated here, which is Bayimine Rav Yehuda mirav Sheshet. Rav Yehuda asked Rav Sheshet, Hamakzir grushato mishniseit umeit. Person who takes back his grusha after she already was married, meaning it was illegal, takes her back, and then dies. Sarata mahu. What happens to the co-wives?
As far as that woman is concerned, we know there's a problem because he did something illegal. Either you're going to have to perform chalitza if you think there's only an Isser Lav over here, or if you think that the word Tumah applies over here, then it's an erva, and he won't eat anything. So as far as Machzir Gushato is concerned, we know that woman, we know what's going to happen. Either, again, if you think there's only a Lav, then there's going to be chalitza. If you think there's a full-fledged erva here, then there's going to be nothing. There's going to be no chalitza and no yibum. Sarata, I'm out. What's the status of the tzara? What's her status? Meaning that you remember now when you have an erva and a co-wife, the co-wife is precluded even though she has no problem. So same thing, a question here. What's the status of the machzir grushato, that woman, how does she affect her co-wives? That's the question of the Gemara. Aliba de Rabbi Yossi ben Kiper, loti bailach. Which is what I just said. According to Rabbi Yossi ben Kiper, you're not going to have a question here. Kevin d'amar Rabbi Yossi ben Kiper, tuma, the machzir grushato, it's a full-fledged ervahu, dechtiva tzarata kamota. Then, and we know from our Mishnah already that any erva, the tzara, the co-wives, are automatically turot. And that's exactly what you would have here. If you think maybe that's not the case here, why? Because it says toivahi. Someone who's makzir grushato is considered to be a toivahi. He toiva, vein banea toavim. We'll explain that means that she's a toiva, but her children are not toavim, which means that they will not become problematic. The kuhuna, if she has a daughter through this marriage, that daughter can marry the kuhuna. She's not considered to be a problematic in terms of illegal or problematic to kuhuna to be married to. So that's what he toiva ben banea toavim. Ha, tsarata toiva. But her co-wife is a toiva and would be illegal in terms of yibum. Kitibayla chalib de rabbonon. The question is according to rabbonon who think here that it's not an erva, but rather tuma is referring to sota. So the case here is just a problem of makzir grushato, which is a regular lav. Avagav d'amur rabbanan tuma b'sota hu d'chtiv. Do we say, look, they took the word tuma from the parsha makzir grushato and they lifted it out of there and said it's talking about a sota. Ein mikra yotzei midei pshuto. What about just the posh pshat? The fact that it's written in the parsha of makzir grushato, does that mean that makzir grushato is also governed by the word tuma? Okay, I understand you have a limud. I understand that you're taking it to be used for sota. But it's still written right here by Machzir Grushato. Do we take the simple interpretation and say that Tuma also applies to Machzir Grushato, and therefore its Sarata would be Ptura? Oh, Duma, came into Yakar, Yakar. Or do we say, no, once you pull it out and put it to Sota, it's no longer relevant to Machzir Grushato, and therefore Machzir Grushato would not have a status of Erva. She doesn't have a status of Erva, then the co-wives are in play. If the co-wives are in play, then he could marry the co-wife. That's our question here. So Gemara says, are the co-wives in play here when it's Machzir Grushato? According to Rabbi Yossi Akiper, the Gemara says nothing to talk about because he classifies Machzir Grushato as an erva. Once you have an erva, the co-wives are out of the picture. The Rabbanan, who don't think it's a problem of erva, they don't have the word tumah here, that's the question. How far away did they take this word tumah? Did they take it into sota and it's it and it has nothing to do with Machzir Grushato? Or does it still have application to Machzir Grushato and that'll have impact here? Ikadamre. Some say, Alibe de Rabbanan, Loti Bailoch. According to the Rabbonon, we don't have a question. Kevandit Aker Iaker. Since once they took it out to Sota, it only applies to Sota. Machzir Grushato is clearly not Tumaz, clearly not Erva, and therefore the co-wives are in play. Kiti Bailoch Alibid Rabbi Yossi ben Kiper. Questions according to Rabbi Yossi ben Kiper. My Afagav the Rabbi Yossi ben Kiper Tumah be Machzir Grushato who dichtiv, even though he says clearly that Tumah is written by Machzir Grushato and she is a din of Erva, Miet Rachmona. We're good at this. He toiva, vein sarata toiva. As opposed to the previous way that we explained it, that it was her, she's the toiva, not her children, we're gonna say no. She is a toiva, but ain sarata toiva. The co-wives did nothing wrong. They're not considered to be a toiva. If that's the case, then they are in play because they are not governed by the erva of this Machzir Grushato. Odilma, he toiva, vein banao toavim. That's the question here. How do you interpret the he toiva? It's coming to exclude something. He and not something else. What's the not something else? Is it her children? Or is it the co-wives? And that's a question inside of Rabbi Yossi ben Kiper. Because he clearly believes that the Machzir Grushato is Erva. Well, the question is, what is the impact on the co-wives? So, ha, tzarata, toiva. But in this case, you would say just that the tzarata is a toiva and would be illegal. Amalei tenitua. We have a Tanaic work that explains this. Haita achat kshera, vachat psula. Im haya choletz, choletz le psula. Im haya miyabim, imiyabim le kshera. So if you have two women here, one of the women is psula already, and the other one is kshera. What she's psula and kshera to, that's what Gemara is going to discuss in 1 second. But if you're going to perform chalitza, which will make the woman more pasul, then at least do it with the psula.
if you're going to do Yibum, which is the positive side, do it with the Kshera. So now the Gemara explains, my Kshera and my Psula. What does it mean that one of them is good and one of them is bad here? Ilema Kshera, Kshera le'alma. Kshera means that this woman is available to everybody else, meaning that she's Kshera le'kuna. This is a woman who has proper yichus, no illegal relationships. Psula, Psula le'alma. And Psula means a woman who is not ra'oi to marry a Kohen, has other issues associated with her. It's clear that in this case, both women are available to him to marry, because otherwise, why would he be performing chalitza, even with the psula? So then, why do we care? Psula and ksheira, if it has other, dealing with third parties, outside parties, then as far as he's concerned, what does he care about that? He has to deal with these two women. For him, they're equally good, or equally problematic, whatever it is, but he should just deal with whatever it is vis-a-vis him. He doesn't have to deal with the outside world. Elalav, what's the scenario here? Kshera is ksherele. Psula, psulale. Kshera and psula are for him. My nihu. What's a scenario where a woman is, one of them is kshera to him and one of them is psula? Where it says, machzir grushato. So that's not going to work because any of the other cases we brought, we know that it's real erva. In those cases where it's real erva, then we know that there's no question of kshera and psula. Everybody is psula in that case. There is no kshera and psula. The only time you're going to have a kshira and psula is if we're dealing with an iser lav. So then that's a case where you can have a kshira and a psula. And over here, that's makzir grushato. That's what the Gemara suggests. Viktani. Imayami yabim, yabim the kshira. If he does yibum, he does it with the kshira. Who's the kshira in the case of makzir grushato? It's obviously the tzara, the co-wife. And it's saying if he wants to perform yibum, he performs yibum with her. He says, no, yolam kshira, kshira liyama, psula, psula liyama. No, you misunderstood here. Kshira and Psula here, it's not about vis-a-vis him and the wives, it's to the world at whole. So then, the Kamar, it's came into the day, Chazia, my Nafkale, Mina. Since both women are equally good to him, why should he care about whether they're Psula the Alma or Kshira the Alma? Why should it matter at all? He's not a Kohen. Why does it matter to him? Mishum de Rav Yosef, the din of Rav Yosef, the Amar of Yosef. Kan Shana Rabbi, lo yishbach adam mei boro, v'acherim tzrichim lehem. Person shouldn't spill out his water when other people need it. Meaning that's the whole basis for eBay, which is just because it's your junk doesn't mean somebody else doesn't want that junk. Right? So too over here. It's the same here. First in the Gemara. Which is that if you're going to make this woman now problematic, because you perform chalitza with her, which will make her now disqualified for marrying a Kohen. So if you take a woman who was otherwise kshira l'kuna and perform chalitza with her, you've now downgraded her from being kshira l'kuna to psula l'kuna. The woman who's already psula l'kuna, if you do chalitza with her, you haven't changed her status. You haven't made it worse for her, but you preserved the kshera. So why not do the chalitza with the other one? The truth is, for you, it makes no difference. For others, it does make a difference. But it's a basically zen enev, is a little chaser. For you, it makes no difference, so why not do it in a way that it helps other people out or leaves other people in a better position? Or leaves this woman in a better position? And that's the reason we demand that he does it. Not because vis-a-vis the women, there's any relationship or any problem or any reason. It's all for the outside world. But why do we consider the outside world? Because there's no downside for him. For him, it's just, he has to do it anyway. He may as well do it in a way that doesn't hurt other parties, doesn't hurt other people. All right, so Tashma, Hamakzir Grushato, Mishinisait, he, Pitzarata, Choletzit. This is a case where she had gotten married to someone else, full-fledged marriage, consummation of marriage, then he returns her. According to Rabbi Yossi Ben Kiper, that's Erva, full Erva here. According to the Chachamim, we're dealing with an Isser Lav. He, vitzarata choletzit. Obviously, he vitzarata, and that's what the Gemara is going to say in a second, is problematic. What the Gemara is assuming here is that her co-wife is in play here. Clear that their co-wife's in play. The Gemara says, he vitzarata sakadatcho? Why would you have to form chalitza with both of them? Why would you have to form chalitza with the grusha that was huchzara and with the co-wife? You only need chalitza with one of the wives. You don't need it with both of them. So that's obviously problematic. Ela ema ohi otzarata. So you have to say here, it means you have to form chalitza either with her or with one of the co-wives. Now, once you've done that, it's a problem, because he's performing chalitza with one of the co-wives, which means that the co-wives are in play. Gemara says, V'lav terutzei kemetaritzla? Wait, you're already telling us that the braita is problematic, and you're amending the braita to make it work. Well, once you amend the braita to make it work, why don't you just amend it so it turns out the way we want it to, which is taritochi. If you want to explain it, don't put the word Owen, but say this, he choletzit, tzareta o choletzit o mitya bemet. That she is choletz for sure, because she's a problematic woman. He can't marry her. Yibum, performing Yibum, her was not even a question. Tzareta o choletzet o mityabemet. The tzareta does one of the two. She either does chalitza or does yibum, which means that the tzara is fully in play. That means that she can, even with magzir grushato, she still is available here for marriage, and yibum can be performed with this woman. We thought at first there was no possibility of yibum with the co-wife, only chalitza. Well, that would solve some of our problem here and say that there is no yibum with the co-wives. The answer in the end is once we've now been mitaking the braita, we can already fix it to work out the way we want it, which means it includes yibum or chalitza for the co-wife. And again, from here, we don't know anymore.
Because you have equally plausible explanations of the braita, whether the co-wife can only perform chalitza, or can she perform chalitza and yibum, and therefore we can't come to any conclusion from this braita.
Amar Rabbi Chiya Ba'ava, Rabbi Yochanan Bai, Hamachzir Gushato Mishniseit, Tzareta Mahu. Rabbi Yochanan asked this question, which is that if you are Machzir Grushato Mishniseit, again, full consummated marriage with another party, then he's Machzir the Grusha. Tzareta Mahu, what's the story with the co-wives now? If the person who was Machzir Grushato was married to other women, passes away without children, what's the story with those co-wives?
Amalei Rabbi Ami Vitibailach Higufa.
Why are you only asking about the co-wife? Why don't you ask about the woman herself, the Grusha that was Chukzira?
He says, "Who he gufa lo kami baidli."
I don't have a question about her.
Damrinan kal v'chomer b'mutar la asura basur la lo koshukain.
So he says to the one that she is mutar, she is technically asura.
Over here, the asur la lo koshukain,
meaning that the original husband who is mutar la bala, the husband who passed away, she married him fine originally. Then she went out and married someone else. Now she's coming back to him. She's not allowed to come back to him. Even though originally it was a fine marriage and it was a good marriage, she's not allowed to come back to him. The Yabam, who has another Isur, which is Eshet Ach, she's a Surah. Then certainly we're not going to ask him to perform Yibam with her or have to do anything with her, because if the original husband is in an illegal marriage, then certainly for the brother, it's a even worse situation. He's an Eshet Ach, on top of it being an illegal marriage. So for him, for sure, we're not going to ask him to do anything. The co-wife who did nothing wrong here, what's her status? Is this kal v'chomer so strong that it knocks off the co-wife as well? Although, or maybe not. He had the question phrased differently, which is, Hamachzir grushato mishneseit mahu. Amalei Rabbi Ami, v'tima tibaylach tzareta. Over here, the question from Rabbi Yochanan is, what's the status of the woman, the grusha that was chukzara? What's her status? He says, then wait, why don't you ask about the co-wives? He said, tzareta lo kamibayile delo alim kal v'chomer lemid chay tzara. I know for sure that the kal v'chomer is not strong enough to knock off the co-wife. The co-wife is definitely in play. Kikamibayile he gufa. My, mi alim kal v'chomer b'mokum mitzvah olo. Is the kal v'chomer strong enough to take away the mitzvah of Yibum or not over here? Now, Yibum, you're right. There's Eshet Ach, which is a problem, but you also have Yibum, which is a mitzvah, a positive mitzvah to do. So maybe Yibum is strong enough here to say that even though technically it's Eshet Ach, Yibum says Eshet Ach doesn't exist. And since Eshet Ach doesn't exist, maybe he should have to deal with it. So Amalei Tinitua. It's our Mishnah that we just quoted before. Achat kshira v'achat psula. Imaya choletz, choletz l'psula. Imaya miyabim. Miyabim l'kshira. My kshira, my psula. Again, the same questions. Ilema. Since the women are equally opportune for him, why does it matter if what their status is vis-a-vis other people? What's the case? Case is that one of them is kshira to him, one of them is not kshira to him. If he wants to perform yibum, he can only perform yibum with the tzara, with the kowai. Lo, kshira le'ama, psula le'ama. If for him, the women are equally okay, then why do we care what their status is vis-a-vis outside parties? Because, Mishum Rabbi Yosef, Dar Rabbi Yosef. Kan Shana Rabbi, Lo Yishpoch Adam Meibaro, V'Acherim Tzrichim Lahem. Again, don't waste. There's no reason to make more problems. It's Miyot Tov. If you can be good, why be bad? Over here, you can do something that, first of all, takes care of your obligations. And on top of that, it makes it better for other people, or it doesn't hurt someone else. So there's then and it's a little chaser. You may as well do it in a way that doesn't hurt other parties. And that's why it's kshira to outside parties, psula to outside parties. That's why it's relevant over here.
Tashma, so we bring the same bright that we brought before. Machzir grushato mishniseit.
He v'tzarata choletzet. That she and her co-wife are choletz. He v'tzarata tzarachadat cho. What do you mean both of them require a chalitza? Eleima ohi o tzarata. Means that either she or her co-wife requires chalitza, but we don't see any permissibility of yibum here. Sounds like the co-wife is knocked out because of the machzir grushato. Mar says, v'lav terutzei ka mitaritzla. Aren't you already mending this brayta to make it make sense? Taritza hachi. Then if you're going to do that, he mend it this way. He choletzet. Tzarata o choletzet o mitya bemet. That whether she can perform chalitza only, but the co-wife can perform chalitza or yibum. And since again, you have equal readings of this brayta to include yibum or not include yibum, therefore we don't have any conclusive evidence as to what is the position here. It's of the chachamim, because we're clearly talking about a lav here, because the machzir grushato requires chalitza, about what the status of the tzara, the co-wife, is. In one case, we can read the brayta as being that she is permitted to perform yibum. In the other case, we say, no, she has to require chalitza, just like the machzir grushato. So we have no conclusive evidence from this brayta. We're stopping here, 18 lines down, on Yud Bet, Amud Aleph.